Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back with me Amanda. Today I'm going to accompany you for the next 60 minutes in our program English Terrestrial Broadcasting. We will present some segments to you, beginning from news, commentary, as well as other information, and of course Indonesian pop songs. Well listener, we begin with the news. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. And also don't forget to check out our website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. The United States and China trade war brings positive effect to Indonesia. Indonesian president is optimistic that Indonesia's small and medium enterprises can grow rapidly. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pani. The Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, said that the U.S.-China trade war positively affected the Indonesian economy. One of the ways was through relocation investment or factory expansion in Indonesia. Lembong, when met in his office South Jakarta on Tuesday, said that the trade war led many factories of several Chinese companies failed to make expansion. They instead diverted investment to build or expand production bases to a number of regions, especially Southeast Asia. Previously, the industry ministry recorded producers of electronic products, Sharp Corporation and LG Electronics planned to relocate a number of their production units to Indonesia. This was one of the opportunities taken by Indonesia amid the escalating trade war between the U.S. and China. As a country with stable geopolitics, foreign investors are now targeting Indonesia even more. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received representatives from a number of micro, small, and medium business associations at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Tuesday afternoon. There are four associations of micro, small, and medium entrepreneurs attended the meeting, namely the Indonesian Micro and Small Entrepreneurs Association, the Indonesian Small and Medium Enterprises Association, and the Indonesian Association of Micro, Small, and Medium Enterprises. During the meeting, President Joko Widodo said that he was optimistic that micro, small, and medium enterprises in Indonesia have wide opportunities to be developed continuously. Until now, there are around 62.9 million micro, small, and medium business units in Indonesia. According to the president, business opportunities can continue to be developed, especially in the service and industry sectors. On the occasion, the president also asked for inputs from entrepreneurs to create proportional policies designed for the development of micro, small, and medium enterprises in the country.
Saya ingin pada sore hari ini mendapatkan masukan-masukan dalam rangka mendesain kebijakan utamanya yang berkaitan dengan usaha mikro.
I want to get input in order to design policies, especially micro, small, and medium enterprises, with the latest amount of data that I received, 62.9 million micro, small, and medium enterprises business units in Indonesia. I think we have a great opportunity to develop businesses in the country. We have to use the opportunities efficiently, especially for small and medium industry trade services. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo told the businessman that the government can facilitate the national micro, small, and medium industries through policy aspects. Excessive facilities can actually weaken the micro, small, and medium industries, especially the entrepreneurial character that has been existed in the country. The Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, KADIN, has stated that Indonesia and the Philippines can take advantage of vast opportunities in the tourism sector by working together to offer tourism packages for both countries. Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry Deputy Chairperson for International Relations Shinta Wijaya Kamdani in Jakarta on Tuesday said that the two countries could work together to attract tourists from third countries such as America, Europe and other countries by offering tourism packages for the Philippines and Indonesia. Previously, chairman of the Philippine Business Club Indonesia, Antonio Chapati, said the tourism sector was a business opportunity that could be worked on jointly by Indonesian and Filipino entrepreneurs. According to Antonio, the collaboration can also improve the tourism sector, providing opportunities for hotels. The Raja Ampat District Government, West Papua Province, has prepared 3 locations for the Maritime Festival in October 2019. The head of Raja Ampat Tourism Office, Yusdi Lamatengo, said on Tuesday in Waisai that the 2019 Maritime Festival will be held in Waisai, the capital city of Raja Ampat District, Sapokren Village, and Teluk Mayalibit. He noted that holding events in 3 locations was intended to empower local communities to pursue tourism businesses to improve their economies. The theme of this year's festival is Exotic Raja Ampat. The concept of the Maritime Festival this year is slightly different from the previous year, in which tourists were required to stay at homestays belonging to local communities in Waisai, Sapokren Village, Teluk Mayalibit, and surrounding areas. In addition, when traveling to destinations, tourists are required to use speedboats for Raja Ampat and longboat tours owned by local communities. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Communication and Informatics Minister Rudiantara reported a drop in the number of web addresses misused to disseminate fake news and hoaxes following the elections and May 21 to 22 unrest in the capital city of Jakarta. The widespread dissemination of misinformation has left the government with no choice but to block some web address or URLs. On May 22nd to 24, Minister Rudiantara revealed that the ministry had blocked 600 to 700 URLs daily that were used to disseminate hoaxes. With a decline in the number of web address spreading hoaxes, the government found it unnecessary to restrict access to social media application, including messaging application WhatsApp, during the electoral dispute trial at the Constitutional Court. Minister Rudiantara has appealed to the public to not distribute hoaxes, particularly those related to general elections. Head of Coordinating and Investment Board, BKPM, Thomas Lembong, is optimistic that domestic investment and foreign investment will grow by 2 figures or above 10% by the end of 2019. Thomas Lembong, when holding a halal bil halal in Jakarta on Tuesday, predicts that the position of foreign investment in Indonesia will be increasingly positive, considering the trade war between the United States and China has made some industries relocate their factories from China to other regions. Thomas Lembong also said, currently the investors are beginning to realize that they need to diversify factory locations so that they do not only center on one particular country. Tourism packages with competitive price to numbers of tourism destination in Indonesia is offering to Singapore through consumer selling hot deals at J Cube Mall Singapore on June 13 to 16. This activity is aimed to reach 20 million foreign tourist visits in 2019. Deputy Marketing Development Division 1 of Indonesian Tourism Ministry, Rizky Handayani, on Tuesday in Jakarta, said that this activity is especially aimed to increase public awareness in Singapore. Rizky added that all industries involved in this program have preferred interesting packages. The tourism activity also assists Batam and Bintan hotel industries that experience significant drop during weekend. Indonesian Tourism Minister Arif Yahya stated that hot deals program makes Singapore as a potential market of Indonesia, especially during working days on Monday until Thursday. Well, listener, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, for today's commentary is about the ASEAN summit in Thailand between opportunities and challenges.
Voice of Indonesia.
Here is today's commentary on ASEAN Summit in Thailand between opportunities and challenges. I'm Dalat Pane. ASEAN leaders will again hold high-level conference in 2019. The ASEAN Summit, which will be held starting from June 20 in Bangkok, Thailand, takes the theme Advancing Partnership for Sustainability. Thailand's decision or determination to host the summit took place about a year ago at the ASEAN Summit that took place in Singapore. Attention is certainly not solely on the relay of ASEAN leadership and the determination of Thailand as the host, but more importantly is the essence of the results of the 2019 summit. The theme, Strengthening Partnership for Sustainability of ASEAN Economic Growth, is interesting to note. Data shows that the ASEAN economy is currently in the top 6 in the world. The opportunity to continue to increase is certainly wide open. In fact, Thailand is optimistic that by 2030, the ASEAN economy will rise to become one of the world's top 4 in the economic field. Opportunities to continue to grow is along with various challenges. The dynamics of the global economy that are colored by the occurrence of trade wars between China and the United States need to be anticipated. The political dynamics both within ASEAN and in other regions have become the challenge for ASEAN. It cannot be denied that external economic and political dynamics will still have an influence on ASEAN's economic future. Apart from that, among several ASEAN countries themselves, the issue of the South China Sea also still requires attention. In such a perspective, the ASEAN Summit in Thailand, which is about to begin, needs to get attention. Not just the formulation of the declaration, but the commitment of the ASEAN leaders to bring it to reality. That's commentary.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present new information about historic events that happened on 19th of June 2019. Have a nice listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Today in History over Voice of Indonesia. I'll begin with June 19, 1961. Kuwait declares its independence from the United Kingdom. Kuwait is an oil-rich monarchy on the coast of the Persian Gulf, Middle East. The country borders Saudi Arabia in the south and Iraq in the north. Kuwait had fallen into the hands of the Ottoman Empire in the 19th century. However, internal conflict in the empire caused Britain to begin strengthening its influence in Kuwait. In 1897, Kuwait officially became a British protectorate. The discovery of petroleum in 1930 caused a drastic change in Kuwait. The level of people's welfare also increased due to it. England finally released Kuwait's territory on June 19, 1961. However, Britain still put its military in Kuwait to help secure the country. Turning to June 19, 2008, John Aryo Katili passed away. Former deputy chairperson of the Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly, Professor John Aryo Katili, passed away on June 19, 2008 in Jakarta. John Aryo Katili served as a member of the House of Representatives from 1992 to 1997. Previously, he served as Director General of Geology and Mineral Resources at the Department of Mines and Energy from 1984 to 1989. In addition to a career in the legislature and government, John Katili also served as assistant to the Counselor of the Institute of Technology Bandung
and Dean of the Department of Mineral Technology, Bandung Institute of Technology. The professor of the Bandung Institute of Technology has written around 11 books and 250 papers. His expertise in the field of geology is highly respected in the international world. John Cattley was chair of the Southeast Asia of Geological Societies and a member of the National Geographical Society. For his various services, John Cattley was awarded the Bintang Mahaputra from the Indonesian government and the Honorary Medal of Commander de l'Ordre National du Mérite from the French government. A number of awards were also obtained from the governments of the Kingdom of the Netherlands, Sweden, and Russia. I will conclude today in history with June 19, 2007, the truck bomb attack in Baghdad. At least 78 people were killed when a suspect Al-Qaeda bomber crashed his truck into a Shiite mosque in Baghdad on Tuesday, June 19, 2007. The attack was only hours after 10,000 U.S. troops began an attack on the Sunni Muslim group north of the capital, the Iraq. The eyewitness said the attacker crashed his truck into the Khilani Mosque in Baghdad, destroying a wall and damaging the interior of the building. That was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Pernah terlintas untuk tinggalkan kamu jauh dariku kasihku, karena aku milikmu, kamu milikku, separuh nyawaku hidup bersamamu. Berdua kita lewati meski hujan badai takkan berhenti,
takkan berhenti.
Sehidup semati, mentari pun tahu ku cinta padamu. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, aku kan selalu ada temani hingga hari tua. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, setia akan ku jaga. Ujung kepala, aku ingin kamu, kamu yang ku mau, belahan jiwaku, kamu masa depanku. Berdua kita lewati meski hujan badai takkan berhenti, sehidup semati, mentari pun tahu ku cinta padamu. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, aku kan selalu ada temani hingga hari tua. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, setia akan ku jaga. Yeah.
listener, that was the first song entitled Teman Bahagia, sung by Jazz. You still stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. For the next segment, we will give you more information on our segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's edition of My Indonesia, entitled Four State-Owned Enterprises Develop Integrated Billing System. Four state-owned seaport operators, namely PT Pelabuhan Indonesia, Pelindo 1, 2, 3, and 4, develop integrated billing system nationally. President Director of Pelindo 3, Doso Agung, in official statement received in Jakarta on Saturday, said, previously, every Pelindos had their own billing systems. Then state-owned enterprises minister gave direction for the four Pelindo to synergize in creating and applying an online seaport service tariff billing or a single nationally integrated billing. Doso Agung explained, technological advancement and internet had been able to eliminate physical presence and time limits in providing excellent service. Doso Agung admitted, the standardization made the business process more simple and measured, so that the expected efficiency could be achieved, which will positively affect national logistics fund reduction. Meanwhile, Operational and Commercial Director of Pelindo 3, Putut Sri Mujianto, said the readiness of IT system owned by Pelindo 3 is expected to contribute to the new integrated billing system preparation, which will be applied in seaport around all four Pelindo's working region. The seaport customer will can fulfill their needs online via mobile apps, with three main services: e-booking, e-billing, and e-payment. Meanwhile, Energy, Logistics, Regional and Tourism Business Deputy of State-Owned Enterprises Ministry, Edwin Hidayat Abdullah, explained, the integrated billing system is part of state's big plan in making ecosystem-based seaport development. Therefore, any need for goods and service traffic via the seaport will be directly integrated with economic system in the area. Edwin added, seaport has important role to boost economic growth increase regionally. Among all Pelindos must cooperate to build common value, including giving the transparent and fair excellent services so that the customer will be comfortable. That was My Indonesia.
Mencintaimu sungguh mudah, semudah 1, 2, 3. Tapi ternyata cinta kita tak semudah yang kita kira. Ada saat ku berpaling, tak sengaja melupakanmu, tapi hatiku selalu untukmu. Denganmu ku temukan cahaya hatiku, denganmu ku temukan cinta sejatiku. Ada cinta dan ada benci, kita tertawa dan menangis hingga akhir umurku nanti. Kota pernah terganti, mencintaimu sungguh mudah, semudah 1, 2, 3. Tapi ternyata cinta kita tak semudah yang kita kira. Ada saatku berpaling, tak sengaja melupakanmu, tapi hatiku selalu.
That was the second song from Abdul and the Coffee Theory with their song entitled Tak Pernah Terganti or Irreplaceable. You still stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. If you like to know more about Indonesian culture, tourism destinations, and Indonesian traditions, let's check out our segment Indonesian Wonder. For today's Indonesian Wonder, we will explore one of the islands in Jakarta, which is Pramuka Islands. Have a nice listening. Listener, today's topic of Indonesian Wonder is about getting relaxed on Pramuka Island. Having holiday is the right time to explore Indonesia. The biggest archipelagic country in the world has many tourism objects, one of which is Pramuka Island. The island is located in the area of Thousand Islands of Jakarta Province. The island has the name Pramuka, which means scout, because the island has been often used as place to conduct scouts activities since 1950s. Before the island became hamlet, it was the habitat of Indonesia's endemic animal, namely the Brahmini kite, or Haliastur indus, also known as the red-backed sea eagle in Australia. They are found in the Indian subcontinent, South Asia, and Australia. Unfortunately, since 1980s, this kind of animal cannot be found anymore on the island. Remains of the animals migrate to Kotok Island, which is located in the Thousand Islands area. On Pramuka Island, there is preservation place of hawksbill turtles, which nowadays its numbers has decreased so that this animal should be protected. In addition, there is also mangrove planting in a bid to fortify the coastal area. The island provides various supporting facilities so that tourists who visit this island will have unforgettable experiences. There is no hotel on Pramuka Island. To support this tourism object, Indonesian government through Tourism Ministry gives education for local people to provide their home as homestay with international standard. the local people are also directed to be able to give different experiences which cannot be found at other hotels. Hopefully, tourists can stay longer and they can get closer to know more activities which are usually conducted by local people. Natural potential of Pramuka Island has its own attraction for tourists. The stretch of clean and soft white sand on the long coastline makes a calm atmosphere and creates a romantic nuance when the sun begins to set on the western horizon. Diving and snorkeling are the main activities which can be done in the island. Its clear water and coral reefs, which are still natural, make the beauty of this island more amazing. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening. Listen to the third song, entitled Seirama or In Harmony by Ify Alisa. For the next segment, we will present you a program where we will take you to learn Indonesian language, namely Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Have a nice listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language. on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is office hours or jam kerja. Next is a conversation about jam kerja or office hours. Tony and Enda are talking about Joko's work.
Di sini biasanya mulai kerja jam berapa?
Rata-rata mulai jam 7.30 dan selesai jam 4 sore.
Kalau istirahat, jam berapa?
Istirahatnya jam 12 sampai jam 1.
Oh, jadi istirahat 1 jam ya?
Iya.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Di sini, jam berapa biasanya mulai kerja? Di sini, jam berapa biasanya mulai kerja? Which means, what time does it usually start working here? Rata-rata mulai jam 7.30 dan selesai jam 4 sore. Rata-rata mulai jam 7.30 dan selesai jam 4 sore. Which means it usually starts at 7:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Istirahat jam berapa? Istirahat jam berapa? Which means what is the time to take a break? Istirahat jam 12 sampai jam 1. Istirahat jam 12 sampai jam 1. Which means the break is at 12 to 13 o'clock. Oh, jadi istirahat 1 jam ya. Jadi istirahat 1 jam ya. Which means, oh, it is only 1 hour for the break, right? In the dialogue, Tony said, "Di sini biasanya mulai kerja jam berapa?" The word biasanya is an adverb that shows frequency. Here are next adverbs that show frequency: selalu or always, biasanya or usually, sering or often, kadang-kadang or sometimes, jarang or rarely, and tidak pernah, or never. For examples, saya selalu berangkat kerja pukul 7. Saya selalu berangkat kerja pukul 7. In English, I always go to work at 7 o'clock. Mereka biasanya pulang kerja jam 4 sore. Mereka biasanya pulang kerja jam 4 sore, which means they usually go home at 4 p.m. Aku sering pergi ke sekolah jam 7. Aku sering pergi ke sekolah jam 7, which means I often go to school at 7 o'clock. Dia kadang-kadang pulang jam 10 malam. Dia kadang-kadang pulang jam 10 malam. Which means sometimes he comes home at 10 p.m. Tony jarang datang terlambat. Tony jarang datang terlambat. Which means Tony rarely comes late. Actually, there are still other kinds of adverbs, but the words selalu, biasanya, sering, kadang-kadang, and tidak pernah are often used in daily conversation. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, Let's listen to the conversation once more.
Di sini biasanya mulai kerja jam berapa?
Rata-rata mulai jam 7.30 dan selesai jam 4 sore.
Kalau istirahat, jam berapa?
Istirahatnya jam 12 sampai jam 1.
Oh, jadi istirahat 1 jam ya?
Iya.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Dan gelisah menunggu di sini di sudut sekolah, tempat yang kau janjikan ingin jumpa denganku walau mencuri waktu. Pada guru malu, aku malu pada semut merah yang berbaris di dinding, menatapku curiga seakan penutannya sedang apa di sini, menanti pacar jawabku. Sungguh aneh tapi nyata, takkan terlupa kisah kasih di sekolah si dia. Tiada masa paling indah, masa-masa di sekolah. Tiada kisah paling indah, kisah kasih di sekolah. Aku malu pada semut merah yang berbaris di dinding, menatapku curiga seakan penutannya sedang apa di sini, menanti pacar jawabku. Sungguh aneh tapi nyata, takkan terlupa kisah kasih di sekolah dengan si dia. Tiada masa paling indah, masa-masa di sekolah. Tiada kisah paling indah, kisah kasih di sekolah. Tiada masa paling indah, masa-masa di sekolah. Tiada kisah paling indah, kisah kasih di sekolah.
masih di sekolah.
That was Krisha with his song entitled Kisah Kasih di Sekolah. Listener, for the next segment, let's learn more information about Indonesian music. In today's edition, we will give you more information about Indonesian pop song. Have a nice listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, this time we have a song from Papua called Apuse. In Indonesia, almost everyone is familiar about Apuse. Simple lyric and arrangement make the song Apuse an easy earworm. The lyric is about a grandson who is about to leave his grandparents because he wants to go to Dorerebe. The tone of Apuse is used in a pop song titled Garuda di Dadaku, an original soundtrack of a film with the same title in 2019. Since then, the tone of Apuse wrapped in different lyric is often sung when Indonesian national soccer team played in international match. Well, listener, here is Apuse by Black Brothers. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, thank you very much for listening to our English program on Voice of Indonesia through our short waves on frequency 3325 kHz. Don't forget to give us your comments, feedback, and suggestions, as well as your reception report to our email address voi@voinews.id. Also, don't forget to check out our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of voiceofindonesia and Twitter account @voiceindonesia. Thank you for listening.